Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Mario making it happen as always. Appreciate the love from Ramona Shelburne. So Dylan Hernandez was just on the show, LA Times. Hey Jess, think about this for a second. When you're putting together, you're breaking down one of those articles. I think that one was it Bob Nightingale?
I think Nightingale.
So USA Today, right? So when you sent me the information, and it's those three boxes, right? You put the East, the West, and I think the Central was the other one, and you see all the teams that are lined up there. And I had to look at it twice. I'm like, okay, so Dodgers, yep, makes sense. Padres, yep, Rockies, the Diamondbacks, you know, all these teams that are within kind of on the West Coast. And then you look closer and you see the Texas Rangers, and I'm like, the Astros would be in the same division as the Dodgers. Can you imagine? Just think of Dodger players who are part of that 2017 World Series, and they get to have multiple sets with the Houston Astros this year. And you don't need a fan base. You don't need anything. These are what do they say? They always say, like, players at the end of the day, they'll find their own justice. And I'm not saying that a player's got to, you know, beam another guy. Just in the nature of the game, the way the Dodgers got screwed by the Astros, could you imagine if those two teams are in the same division for the 2020 season? I think that would be the greatest thing to watch. It would be must be TV.
It would be must watch baseball for everyone, because, you know, before this, the only chance just fans alone had a chance to boo the Astros was going to the Angels games.
That's right, going to Angel Stadium. That's how they were going to start the season.
And now there's a chance, you know, a bit, and probably won't be fans, but the actual team, the Dodgers, the players who, you know, it
and that's
actually
all that
affected
matters.
The most
100%
have a chance to redeem them, not only themselves for everything, but for the fans. You know that if it comes down that this is going to be the plan for baseball, it is going to be amazing to watch the Dodgers whoop their ass.
By the way, Jess, I would say this. It's not even about, like, you can't redeem yourself. What I mean by that is you can, but them playing in a regular season game against the Astros, it's never going to be the equivalent. Like, they got something stolen from them. But there could be some justice in just getting an opportunity to go up against the Astros. Let the players figure it out. You know, we try to get Major League Baseball. They didn't step in. You know, Rob Manfred, he never stepped in and said, hey, this is the right thing to do. This is how we're going to handle the situation in this predicament. Fans can only do so much. Okay, let's say Dodger Stadium was sold out, or Angel Stadium was sold out, and 20,000 Dodger fans were there during opening weekend to boo the Astros. Okay, what does that really do? What you want to see is you want to see mano a mano, player versus player. You took something from us. Now we want a shot at going up against you. And if they were in the same division, instantly when I saw that, I'm like, this is the greatest. That will be the greatest matchup of baseball in 2020, because there's an incredible amount of history there. This is the equivalent that I'd give. So I mentioned this. Jesse and I were talking about this a little bit off air. But I'm saying the only other team that really has a connection where, you know, they're upset, and I don't think it's the level at the Dodgers would be to the Astros, where you felt like you got screwed the most. It's Dodgers number one. Let's say the Yankees are right behind them, because Yankees lost to the Astros in 2017 for the Astros to then come play the Dodgers in the World Series. So this is going to be, I think, one of those. If that is the scenario that plays out, it would be a fantastic storyline. And I think for Dodger fans, and I think for Dodger players, it would be just so great to watch, to see them go up against this team that is known for cheating, and arguably cheating them out of a World Series in 2017. There's another story here coming out in baseball that I want to share with you guys. It's actually an obvious move by Major League Baseball. I don't know if you guys remember, maybe about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, I want to say, I had Bill Shaken on from the LA Times. And Shaken had an article that was talking about teams and Major League Baseball, and specifically the Dodgers and the Angels, there's kind of no solution here with tickets. Well, what are they going to do here? Fans want their tickets back, or they want their money back. There's not going to be games. We know there's not going to be games. And even if baseball does come back, it's going to be in empty stadiums. So here's a here's something that was released earlier today. MLB allowing teams to offer refunds for games lost to COVID-19 coronavirus. Games were postponed before instead of canceled, so refunds were not happening. So I'm gonna stick on that word for a quick second. When something is postponed, if you went and bought tickets at Ticketmaster or any of these ticket, you know, these third party brokers or these ticket partners with any of the leagues or maybe a concert, if the event is just postponed and it's not canceled, then you technically don't have the right to get your money back. I complained over the last couple of weeks that this isn't the right thing to do. It's not. I mean, if somebody right now is depending on $1,000, $500, $2,000, whatever it is that they have in tickets, I'm just throwing out numbers, obviously, and we know that those sporting events are not going to happen, and they got a rent check due or a mortgage payment coming up or a car payment coming up, and they're one of the 25 million plus that filed for unemployment over the last 5 weeks, you cannot have an excuse saying, well, it's postponed and it's not canceled, and therefore they can't get their money back. That's an awful, awful look for the leagues. Number one, it's an awful look for the leagues. Number two, which is more important, the people need their freaking money back. Maybe not everyone's in that position or predicament, but I'm sure there are a ton of local fans that have money going towards concerts or going towards sporting events that now, because there are no concerts and there are no sporting events, they need their money back. So this is how it will work. Each team will set its own policy, with many offering a credit for the 2021 season as an option. Teams can announce their new policies beginning on Wednesday. Last week, two fans filed a complaint in California. I think actually also in New York as well. But I'll say this. So keep an eye out. Today is obviously Tuesday. Wednesday, tomorrow. I'm looking forward to see what the new policies are going to be from some of these teams. It's big. It's very, very important. I'm not just saying it because it's a good topic. No, I'm saying it because it's realistic. I can see a number of people in a predicament today where that money could be the difference of them getting their rent check for May. That's, I don't think, unrealistic at all. So I do think that I don't want to compliment Major League Baseball just yet, because I would like to see what each of these teams do, but it's the obvious thing to do. It's what exactly you're supposed to do. And there's no argument to be made. What's the argument you're going to make? I just went through, you know, show started at 6:30. I've been talking baseball for an hour. Every scenario that I played out, you know, and I know that doesn't include any fans at arenas, at stadiums, at baseball fields, at parks. It doesn't include any of that. There was actually, I'm going to kind of find it here real quick. Governor Gavin Newsom earlier today tweeted out these four stages guided by public health and safety. I want to just tell you guys what stage three and four is. And this is the reason why I'm saying it, is because I'm going to go back to the whole ticket situation. Stage three is sports without fans. He has a number of things on there. These are just one item on each stage. Stage four, sports with fans when therapeutics are available, as in there's some type of a vaccine, that there's a solution. So we're not going to have fans at games for a while. I'm sure that, you know, the Major League Baseball allowing teams to offer refunds for games lost to coronavirus. I think it's safe to say that those games, not only are a big portion of them not going to be made up, you know, it's not going to be 162 games with 81 games from Dodger Stadium or Angel Stadium, but on top of that, whatever games are played, they're not going to have fans. All right, Stephen A. Smith asked the question, how would LeBron James fare in Jordan's era? Plus, the Lakers are in touch with the mayor's office on opening their practice facility. Dave McMenamin had this story out, I think it was yesterday. And we'll start getting into some NBA stuff. I want to hit on that. Another, this time a UCLA player is committing to the G League. So we got a lot of good stuff coming up here. Appreciate you guys all tuning in. If you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. Hit me on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Curtis, killing it back there, Curtis. Killing it back there.
Just on one today. I don't know what it is.
Got some good rhythm back there. Anything change in LA Live? Anything at all? Or is it still just exactly how...
I mentioned it to you kind of earlier. There was actually traffic downtown for like 2 miles. That wasn't a thing last week, but of course it has to be downtown traffic be the first thing that comes back. But.
So yesterday, the Starbucks that's just right down the street from my house, they opened up yesterday. So now it's you can go and just pick up your coffee, right? But you know how it's everybody's accustomed to the drive-through. It's drive-through only type of a thing. Well, this is one of the only ones that I know of, and I think maybe some of these other Starbucks will start doing this as well. They will just slowly open up, allowing for you to just mobile order. So I did that yesterday, and then next to it, I'm looking and I'm like, the dry cleaning place. Think about, you know, dry cleaning is a great example of just a business that, you know, it's so unfortunate. I feel really bad for so many different industries, but think of dry cleaning. I'll just use me as an example. You got all these Laker games, right? So you're wearing suits and you're running around. So you get you use the dry clean as, you know, let's say once a week or whatever the case is. I go to the dry clean yesterday and just the nicest lady, and I'm asking her, I'm like, I don't even know if I have clothes here. Like, I can't remember. I had clothes there, sitting there for 6 weeks. You know, like, I completely forgot that I had dry cleaning there. But damn, I don't think I've ever walked into a place. I've never walked into that dry cleaner and they, you know, you could see all the way to the other side of the building. And that just shows how little inventory that they have, how little people are shopping. Then I go to the grocery store, which is right next to it. And there was actually nobody in line. And that never happened. So I just, you know, I kind of always either go at off times or I figure out what I have here and just make it work. But for the first time yesterday, I don't know, Jess, Curtis, if you guys have any of this going on, are some of the places that, you know, you would go to before COVID-19, are they kind of sort of starting to open a little?
Some places I felt have gotten a little more normal, but for the most part, it's still, you know, I think if you just go at, like, you know, a certain time, if you just kind of like get missed, you go either like a couple minutes too late, a couple minutes too early, you'll wind up catching a line. I mean, I went to Aldi last week and right before I was going to pay, there was no line. That was awesome. But then I forgot a couple things. So I want to go back and grab those couple things. And the span of, you know, 5 minutes, the line had grew. So I had to wait, you know, like 5 minutes in line.
Curtis, are you still dealing for Mace or is that not going on right now?
Oh, business is good right now, man. Everyone's stuck at home, nothing to do.
That's awesome.
Might as well just embrace this.
Business. Might as well. Yeah, just embrace it. Embrace it. Okay. Stephen A. Smith, first take. Let's just say Stephen A. Smith definitely has an opinion. Conversation came up this morning. Questions how LeBron would fare in Michael Jordan's era. I want to play this, and I think there's something about, you know, these greats, and sometimes we compare them to different eras, and how would they do? Here's Stephen A. Smith on how LeBron James would do in Michael Jordan's era.
When I think about LeBron, right, here's the deal. He's a career 27-7-7 performer. I think in that era, he would have averaged a little bit less in points, significantly more in assists, but he also would have struggled in his career at 73% shooting from the free throw line, shooting 69% from the free throw line this season. I think the free throw line would have been an impediment for him at times, but I think overall, his numbers would have been about the same. LeBron would be a superstar in any era, but the champion that he is, Nah. You know, you got to have the ability to lead. And you got to remember that LeBron James is an affable leader. He's the kind of guy that gets along with a lot of dudes. They got a lot of love for him. He's not that maniacal dude in your face where, okay, you got cats that are scared of him. I don't believe in that hardcore era. Remember, LeBron would have done what he does as an individual. Nobody would have stopped that. But his ability to galvanize the troops around him, to be a bunch of Rough Riders, to handle an era like that, I don't believe that would have been the case. The only time Dwayne Wade would have been that dude. I think anybody else, Kyrie, of course, because Kyrie nasty, period. I mean, that's Isaiah Thomas, different era. I mean, Lord, Kyrie is something special. But I don't believe that LeBron would have enjoyed the same level of success.
I want to say this on Stephen A. I listen to a lot of Stephen A. And actually, a lot of his takes I'm always curious about, especially, you know, in the NBA, he's as knowledgeable as anybody when it comes to NBA, when it comes to basketball. It doesn't mean I'm going to agree with everything that he says. It doesn't mean that, you know, some of the takes that he's going to take, I could have a completely different view on. But I'll set it up like this. And I genuinely, genuinely believe this. Winners find a way to win. And some of the greats that we've got a chance to watch, all right, I don't care what era it was, they're winners. Like, I can't stand when somebody says, imagine if, I'll use Kobe as an example. You think Kobe, you think he would have won in the 80s? Of course he would have. You think Wilt would have been winning in today's game? Of course he would have. You don't think LeBron James would have found a way to win back in the 90s? Like, greats are greats. There was this book I read a long time ago, and it was more a business book, and it was talking about from a financial basis that you can take somebody who earned, you know, a bunch of money in his life and found a way how to save money and, you know, was just a good businessman, understood how to spend money and what to do with it. And you could deplete his bank account and deplete all the money that he has, and eventually he would get back on track and start building again. And then you could take the opposite of it. Somebody that always spends too much, always is in debt, always has credit. You can give them a ton of money and they're going to eventually find a way to spend that money not wisely and then eventually get back into being in debt. I'm not saying you can't change a person, but I'm saying that that is very, very common. And I use that as an example because if you think LeBron James wouldn't be a leader and wouldn't be arguably the best player of that 90s era if you took him and slapped him into the 90s, I'm sorry. I don't think you're labeling winners the right way. You don't think Magic – if you took Magic Johnson today and you put him in this era, Magic's not going to find a way to win. Bird's not going to find a way to win. Will their games have to change? Will they have to evolve? Of course they would. But that's what winners do. They evolve. Kobe Bryant with Shaquille O'Neal had to evolve. Kobe Bryant with Pau Gasol had to evolve again. LeBron, the way he's playing with Anthony Davis and the Los Angeles Lakers, is different than LeBron James that was playing back in Miami with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. All these players are evolving. By the way, you know who else evolved? If we're using the Michael Jordan comparison, how about that documentary with The Last Dance? And Doug Collins is the coach at some point. Eventually, Phil Jackson takes the reins. And Phil Jackson tries explaining to Michael Jordan, if we are going to win, you got to have the ball less. You have to create. These other players have to be more of a threat. What did Michael Jordan end up doing against the Lakers? He started dishing the ball to Paxson. And then as he evolved, he became a leader with Scottie Pippen and with Horace Grant and some of these other players. That's what the greats do. You don't think LeBron James would be able to evolve in the 90s? Come on now. And by the way, that 90s era was ridiculous. Go look at that Dream Team where it's Magic and it's Bird and it's Isaiah, even though those players were really winning their chips back in the 80s. But the Patrick Ewings, the David Robinsons, the Scottie Pippins, you know, we can go – the Karl Malones, we could go up and down the list of all the greats. You put LeBron James in that era, he's one of the greats. I cannot stand what we just kind of think in our mind that some of these players, you put them in a different era and all of a sudden they don't know how to play. Kareem is a great example. You know how many times people tell me, Alan, you know, you don't give Kareem enough credit. I know if Kareem and if Ireland was on here, Michael Thompson was on here, they would be the first ones to tell me, bring Kareem into this era, he finds a way to be successful. Bring Phil Jackson from the Chicago Bulls and bring him to the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, a few years later and he's still winning. The greats find ways under any circumstance. So I'm not worried about LeBron James. Don't miss episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance, May 3rd, this Sunday at 6 p.m. on ESPN and streaming live on the ESPN app. If you miss episodes 1 through 4, you can stream them now with ESPN On Demand and on the ESPN app. Had to get that out. Had to get that out. We got halftime coming up next. Curtis will hop in. Jesse will hop in. As always, we greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm happy to take calls in the 8 o'clock hour if you guys are out on the road or listening on the app and you want to be a part of the show. 877-710-ESPN. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Bro, how clean is Mario with some of his stuff?
He is the best. That's all I got to say. He's the best.
Mario behind the scenes, always making it happen. So, how you guys doing? What's going on? Curtis, you said that you hit a little bit of traffic coming into the office. By the way, do we still have, like, who else is in there? Is it just literally just the board ops and that's it? You don't see anybody else at the office?
I see Funches, then he leaves, and then I see the cleaning lady, and that's it.
And that's it, huh?
Damn. Wow. And the security guys downstairs.
Does she still come every night?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Still doing her thing.
That's crazy. Wow. I can't even remember how the studio looks. I know there's like a microphone somewhere, and then there's like buttons on the board. There's a glass somewhere in there.
That's the right? Full description. Something right like there. That. It's a full All description. Right. Okay, I'm going to go first.
As bad as I thought it is.
I'm going to go first on this one, okay? So Saturday. Was it Saturday? Yeah, I think it was on Saturday. I'm on, I'm on YouTube, and YouTube is whatever. They're using their algorithms to just see whatever it is that I'm searching, and NFL Network comes up, okay? And I'm looking at it, and it says that this is the greatest Zoom call in the history of sports. It was something along those lines. So I'm like, all right, who's on this call? And I'm looking, and I'm going to kind of go through all the different names. So it's Primetime, Deion Sanders.
Primetime.
It's Kevin Hart. It's Russell Wilson. It's Tom Brady. It's Kelsey is on there. Strahan is on there. Who else is coming in and out? They got like different players coming in and out. They got a number of different people that are kind of coming in and out. But just think about the names that I listed off right there, okay?
And, a lot of goats.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. The conversation was hilarious. You know, a lot of them are making fun of Deion Sanders. He had a jacket on and he's growing out a beard and it's completely gray. So they were clowning. Kevin Hart just kept saying, hey, it's just me and the guys, right? All of us that play football, like he just kept running with that theme, okay?
Was he the football? Is that what he was talking about?
Art literally was just like, this is what we do. And he's like he's just throwing out stupid stuff. He's like, man, when I was in the nickel that one time, like he's just throwing out stupid stuff, right? So Hart is killing it. Tom Brady is freaking Tom Brady. Russell Wilson is smooth as hell. So the whole thing was just fantastic. And it was so unique, you know. I've never, you know, seen it like that with all these greats. And I know you mentioned to me, Jess, the Dodgers did something similar. So, you know, you got a lot of different Dodger players and then others that just kind of join in on the thing. So I'll ask you guys, if you can do a Zoom call and you got four athletes that you can do it with, Curtis, I'm going to start off with you. Give me some of the athletes you put on the Zoom call and why you choose those athletes.
All right. I was very proud of my list of my four. This would work not only in a Zoom call, but I think I would like to be quarantined with the same group too. I think it works out pretty well.
Okay.
So firstly, Juju Smith-Schuster, because we'll both be playing Madden at the same time.
Nice. And then
it's just an additional trash talk. Baker Mayfield, because he's the ultimate bro. He'll probably be drunk before we started it.
That's awesome. By the way, I never thought of Mayfield. Yeah. I like where you're going with this. I could see Mayfield, like, within 10 minutes, you're annoyed of him, and you're like, all right, I should have picked somebody else.
Yeah, that's also how, like, me and my friends feel about each other, though, so it's fun.
So he fits right in. Okay, who else?
Jeannie Bouchard, the tennis player, just because she's very attractive, and I've had a crush on her forever.
Jeannie Bouchard, do I know who that is?
Some guy held up a sign asking her on a date if he got, like, whatever number of retweets, and she did it, and it was a big thing.
My man, good for him.
And okay, if Twitter existed when I was in high school, I so would have done that.
All right, so that's three right there. What's the the fourth one?
My final is Klay Thompson, because he's funny, but in an awkward way, and I really... I feel that vibe. Have you ever seen, like, when he gets really weird in interviews? Well, no.
Can I tell you something? Klay is a very underground, solid pick.
Yeah.
That's a great pick.
I'm very
Klay
proud
does
of this
that.
List.
Klay had this thing. If you YouTube Klay and, you know, kind of see his personality off the court, the guy's a funny dude. And he's got a very dry sense of humor, you know?
There was a supercut of his, like, interviews I saw on, like, Instagram. It was, like, probably 4 minutes of just a few of them. And it was so funny. And he's like, low-key funny, like, you don't know until you think about it kind of thing.
Curtis, he doesn't take himself seriously, you know what I mean? It's like a perfect balance of, like, a competitor that you want to see on the court. All you want to do is win. But then when he's off the court, he seems very, very chill. Like, it's not like, you know, his personality shines a little more. But I think it's very, very dry sense of humor. So that's a solid four.
And I would be quarantined with them, too. That would be fun house, too. So either way, it's a win.
All right, Jess, what do you got over there? What four would you go with?
Not bad. So my first one is going to be a twofer, just because they were all as a tag team. I do have wrestlers on my list, by the way, which are the first two. They're the Good Brothers of Carl Anderson. I know, big surprise. And the Big LG, Doc Gallows. They host a podcast along with Rocky Romero. It's the worst podcast in the world. It's called Talkin' Shop. But these are two good brothers who love drinking. And if anyone who's familiar with them and has actually heard that worst podcast ever, Talking Shop, know that they're just always fun to listen to. My second one would be Pat McAfee, the former Colts punter.
Oh, yeah. Team. McAfee's got – by the way, McAfee, he's killing it.
Yeah, his podcast is funny. His takes are hysterical. He's so funny.
Hunters are funny. So he now. Pops cool up. All of a sudden.
He pops up on my he pops up on YouTube as well. So, like, there'd be times, and it's well done, right? Like, the video's clean, it looks good.
He's just chilling with his legs up on the table.
He's chilling. Yep, he's chilling. He's got a number of guys, like, behind him that, you know, obviously are helping with the show. McAfee has definitely gained an audience pretty quick. Was he a part of, by the way? Was he for a second there a part of Barstool and then went off and did his own thing?
I think so. I feel like it. Because, see, I don't think he got, like, you know, just started this out of the blue. He was definitely, like, up and coming. And then
built
it came
an
to
audience.
A point where he just popped. Yeah.
He did guest hosting gigs on some stuff, too, for a little bit. And then he just blew up.
Well, he is – the reason why I say Barstool is because he's got a little bit of that. You know, like, it's not – you know, you got a tie on and you're very corporate. He's very laid back, very loose. But he also has – the thing that makes his show good, you mentioned Jess, he's funny. He's got a personality, but he also's got good takes. Like, he also has – you know, he'll have a take on something going on for football and you're in it. You're like, oh, man, he's giving me references to when he was in the league and I could see how that relates. And so I think he's got, like, this perfect balance of – serious, but really not that serious, but he can be serious when he needs to be.
Yeah, so he's definitely my second choice. My third choice would be the San Francisco's tight end, George Kittle, just because I love everything he does. And you can tell that I think him and Pat McAfee alone would be a fun combination to talk to. You can just sit back and, like, the whole time, I'm not even talking. I'm just watching all of them talk with one another. Because my fourth option would be none other than Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that's it. It's all wrestling. All they talk about is wrestling, and I literally kick back like Pat McAfee does on his show with the brewskis on one side and popcorn on the other. And I just listen to them talk and goof off and just be – exactly. I wouldn't even talk. I'd just be like, yo, I set this up. Go. Go. I'm just kicking back. I'm just kicking back.
Okay, I'm gonna throw in some names here that would be good on this type of stuff. Barkley says whatever he wants. Barkley is just fantastic.
Barkley right? would like, be a good one.
Barkley's great. How about Marshawn Lynch?
Oh my God.
Marshawn Lynch would be entertaining.
Skittles nearby.
I'm telling you, Marshawn Lynch would be entertaining. Like,
no, he would be, but he would have to be into it in order for him to be entertaining. Because if he didn't, if he's not into it,
he's not saying anything.
He'd be like, nah, I can't figure this out. I'm out, yo. And he just walk away.
I'm trying to think if there's another.
I thought like Giannis and Embiid, they're both interchangeable.
Giannis and Embiid would be nice.
Embiid, I think would be Embiid would say whatever he wants to say. But that's, man, I'm telling you guys, if you guys didn't get a chance, if you go on YouTube, and like I said, Tom Brady's on there, Russell Wilson.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Too. Kevin Hart is freaking hilarious. I think Joe Buck pops on for a few minutes. I mean, Strahan, Deion Sanders. It was really good. It was entertaining, and you had 7-8 guys that were all just, you know, either Hall of Famers or comedians or whatever the case is.
Russ took some shots on Brady. It was pretty funny.
Who did?
Russell Wilson was throwing shots at Brady a couple of times. It was funny to watch.
Oh,
it's like, at least you're in the right house for this Skype call.
Yeah, saw that, and then Brady just put up a number 6, and then he put up a Super Bowl that they stole away from Russell Wilson, and I'm sure Russell got quiet from there. But by the way, what a mix. I loved it. I really did. Russell Wilson and Tom Brady, like just them right there. I'm like, damn, these are some powerful, powerful players.
You know what Tom Brady should have done before we move on? Tom Brady should have had that 6th ring, the one that he specifically beat Russell Wilson in that middle finger and just showed him that one.
He could have done that. He could have definitely done that. He could say, yep, I got 6. Here's the 5 and then the 1. Here's the 1 right here. That's awesome. All right, who wants to go? Jess or Curtis?
I'll go next, yeah. I'll go next. We'll save Curtis for next one. So you've heard of the movie Trolls World Tour.
Yeah, I actually have. Yeah, Trolls World Tour. Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, Trolls, those dolls that were big in like the 80s. It's kind of like the film adaptation of that. It's a sequel, and it was the first high-profile studio to kind of bypass the theaters because of the coronavirus. And it was just available for on-demand. And according to the Wall Street Journal, 5 million customers have purchased up to – it came out – I wrote it weird. 5 million customers have purchased, and it came out to about $95 million overall in rental fees. And it's a stronger revenue than the actual 2016 movie. So this sequel that was released on demand – grossed more than an actual big theatrical release.
Interesting.
And that led to NBC Universal CEO Jeff Shell to said that they're planning to release future titles in both formats when theaters reopen. Because if they can make this kind of money without having, you know, push a theatrical release, that's great. That's great for movie studios. However, AMC, their CEO fired back and basically called them out, saying that once all this is over, we're not putting Universal movies in our movie theaters because screw you, basically.
Well, let me tell you, I'll give you they have to do what they just did. And what I'm talking about is the Universal Films. They had to do what they did. This is – by the way, this isn't going to change tomorrow. So I don't know about you guys, and I've said this, probably not going to go to a restaurant for a little bit. That doesn't mean I won't order out, but I don't think I'm going to be going into a restaurant for a little while. I don't think I'm going to be go roaming down the malls unless I got it. You know, if I need something, I'm going to go grab it and I'm going to get out, right? Like, I think that's going to be the norm for a little while until you get more and more comfortable. The idea of releasing this at home was the right thing to do. And if, you know, a movie theater, if AMC is not happy with it and they don't like the idea, I'm sorry, but you cannot – if they made $100 million, they obviously made the right decision. So right off the bat. Second thing is if it's not at AMC, if somebody wants the product, they're still going to order it. So I think it's actually a bad move for AMC to say that. I think AMC almost in a sense has to think in their mind, this is the world, and we have to adapt to it, I think what Universal Films was the right thing to do.
So you don't think this will kind of be the domino effect, but the first chain into possibly, you know, theaters? I don't want to say completely gone, because I don't think that will ever happen, but at least, you know, maybe they kind of they're not as the number one source for movies. You know, it's not get the movie out to the theaters for distribution, for all that.
I think times are changing. You know what I mean? Like, I think how many less people have cable TV today than 10 years ago, 5 years ago, right? A lot of people now are these streaming services. You got to adapt. I mean, I'm sorry, AMC. I could just tell you, from me personally, I will be renting more movies and watching more movies and watching more shows from my couch and in my living room than I would be going to a theater. Maybe that changes in 6 months. Maybe that changes in a year. But you have to adapt. I mean, honestly, I don't know what else to tell you. That's like, it's the same thing as telling somebody, no, don't cook from home. Just order out. It's like, no, I'm at home, so I have to do things that's more convenient for me. If you're not looking out for the consumer, that's bad business. Universal was looking out for the consumer. They were rewarded with $95 million in sales or whatever that you mentioned there, because they accommodated something that was important to the consumer. I'm not with the AMC portion at all. I feel bad, but they're going to have to adjust like every other business is going to.
No, I agree. I think the AMC kind of they were mad, and they responded, and they didn't really kind of put a whole lot of thought into that. They're just like, oh yeah, well, you're gonna do that? Well, we're not gonna show you movies, and kind of like, you know, high school BS kind of thing.
You know what else is gonna happen, Jess? Is other films are gonna look at what Universal did, and they might be doing the exact same thing. Yep. Because they saw the success Universal had. You know,
if it's making money, we're gonna do it too.
100%. I mean, that at the end of the day, if I'll just use this as an example, maybe it's an awful example, but if, let's say hypothetically, companies are able to save a lot more money by employees working from home. I'm just using that as an example, right? And I don't know if this is going to be the case, but let's say they're able to save more money. They're leasing out less spaces. They're doing all that because they still feel like their bottom line in business is good, and they don't have the overhead of a building. That could happen after the dust settles here, because everybody's now forced to work from home. What are you going to do? Is everybody going to get mad at your business for making a business decision? Universal made a business decision, and there might be a lot more, you know, of these films that come out the same way Universal did. I think AMC taking the approach of saying, No, we're going to cancel you, might actually backfire on them.
It could definitely be. It definitely happened.
All right, Curtis, what do you got there, buddy?
All right, so I know you guys were all – you all saw this and were all freaking out. I know I was. So today the Pentagon releases 3 UFO videos and essentially declassified a few things, and they confirmed that aliens are real. So I'm
– Oh, boy.
Just asking you guys.
Did they confirm that? Did they really confirm
that? Yeah.
Like, what do you mean?
It was very general. Hey, these are technically unidentified, but they...
unidentified aerial...
flying objects.
Yep. Okay. All right.
But just wanted to kind of ask you and Jess, does this change your thoughts on the whole thing? Or do you have any other kind of supernatural beliefs or anything like that?
Okay, so for those who don't know, for those who have never seen those videos, go search it online. You could find it. I'm sure you guys probably first heard of these or saw them. Was this a Rogan thing? Wasn't this Rogan a few months ago?
Rogan definitely mentioned this a while back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe a year ago, yeah, something like that.
He mentioned, because he had a guy on who I can't remember his name. Because I think I know the episode you're talking about. And this is just kind of it's playing on that. It wasn't that specific thing, but his name is like on the tip of my tongue. It's right there. But it's definitely in the same realm, because, you know, it has to do with UFOs and, you know, all the government knows. Do they really exist? I think it's pretty naive to believe that there's not some kind of other being out there, because space is extremely enormous to think that we are actually really alone, but that's just my two cents.
Well, listen, I'll say if you haven't seen the video, go watch it. And the video doesn't do it justice. What does it justice is the – I think it's the Navy that you hear – you know, on the air, maybe it's even the Air Force. I can't remember who was,
they're talking who's back kind of, to each other and their
they're,
reaction.
They're talking to each other. Yeah, their cool. reaction is kind of what, you know, makes me believe, okay, this is legit. What I mean by legit as in, and this is when I saw the video 6 months ago, 8 months ago, whatever it was, those are genuine reactions, right? Like this isn't made up. This isn't something that, this isn't something that was documented, like, or I'm sorry, was created or anything like that. So when I watched the video, I already felt like, I don't know what this thing is, but that's definitely not something that's man-made. And then when the Pentagon comes out and pretty much says, officially released the three short videos, unidentified aerial, whatever that was, right? It is definitely makes you think that, you know what, we are such a humongous universe for us to be the only ones on here. That's a tough one to believe.
Yeah, that's how I've kind of always taken it, just because it's true. Like, it's really, I feel like it's super naive to think that there's not something, whether it's like aliens or, you know, whatever, there has to be something else like us, or at least that, you know, thinks like us somewhere out there. And by the way, that the guy Tom that you're talking about with Joe Rogan, his name is Bob Lazar. I had to look it up because it was bugging me.
That's who it was. Yeah, Bob Lazar.
And I'm pretty sure that Netflix is still that documentary is still on Netflix. I can't find the name, but just search Bob Lazar. Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers. That's what it's called.
Oh yeah, that's right. He was talking about the Area 51.
Yeah, like he worked on a secret base, near Area 51. With they basically discovered what it was, some sort of metal that is like used now, that was, and some sort of element that was just recently discovered, or at least announced within the past couple of years, but that they've been working on it since, you know, the 1980s or whatever. It's definitely, if you're interested in UFOs and all that, it's definitely worth a listen.
I agree.
And it's worth the watch, because if you're interested even a little bit, it'll hook you.
There's Please. there's definitely a curiosity towards that. So good stuff there, Curtis. All right. Appreciate it, fellas. By the way, great topics. I know we still want to get to that five-star point guard, Deshaun Nix, who decommits from UCLA to join the G League. So let's do that when we come back. And then I'm still going to have, if you guys remember from about 3 weeks ago, Anna Christina Jerzyk, eatfreelynutrition.com and at eatfreelynutrition on Instagram. She's going to give us some more tips from a nutritional basis. We'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. I want to reintroduce. We did this, if you guys remember, a couple weeks ago. I said that we all have to be a little healthier. All right. So that's where Anna Christina Jerzyk came into play. She's with eatfreelynutrition.com. You can also follow her on Instagram at eatfreelynutrition. Anna, thank you for coming back on the show. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me back again.
Of course. Listen, I said this when we did this a few weeks ago. This was actually kind of more towards the beginning of the quarantine. And, I really, really believe this when I say it. I really feel like there are probably a lot of listeners out there that, you know, maybe by being thrown off their routine and spending a lot of time at home, that it's so easy to kind of get off a rhythm or a groove. And I know for me personally, like I did the, you know, you said don't have added sugar for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Okay. So this is what I'll tell you of how I did in the no added sugar for 2 weeks. I probably went like a week and a half or so. Okay. So I got pretty close.
That's
got pretty
impressive.
Close to 2 weeks. Okay. But I'll say this. If there's one thing that I learned, I keep an eye out now on the nutrition facts to see if there's added sugar or not. So for those that maybe didn't get a chance to listen to the interview and the conversation that we had before, can you explain to listeners why
not having added sugar, what the benefits are and why it's important to always kind of look at the labels and see if whatever you're about to eat has added sugar or it doesn't.
Yeah, so added sugars are so tricky because, I mean, they're empty calories, right, for one. And I know right now people may be feeling a little bit of weight gain, feeling a little bit unhealthy, so we definitely don't want to add in extra, like, empty calories on top of that. And it can also trigger pretty strong sugar cravings for the rest of the day. So I know a lot of people kind of battle those cravings already, and then if we're having that added sugar all day in our drinks and in our food, it just makes it really hard to cut that out later on in the night, you know, when those cravings hit. So on the label, though, like you said, it will show you there, which is pretty interesting. And were you surprised by some of the stuff that has added sugar in it?
There's actually so many things I thought were healthy. I'm like, oh, look at me. I'm a healthy guy. You know, like, she's trying to tell me not to have added sugar. And then I go look at the labels. I go look at the labels and I'm like, what the hell? 7 grams, 11 grams. Even, like, you know, cereals that I thought were pretty healthy. You know, a lot of nuts right. in them, a lot of, you know, grains, like that type of stuff. I mean, the amount of added sugar in those was crazy. Obviously, any drinks, it seems like, with added sugar is a no-no. And then what else? What's the other one that – I mean, I guess just kind of the yogurts, the, you know, things along yeah. those lines that I just never realized, yeah, this is not natural. This is all added sugar. I have a better – obviously have better knowledge on that now.
Yeah. Another one that trips people up are condiments. So, like, people don't even think about, like, their barbecue sauce or their ketchup or their tomato sauce, like, being loaded with sugar. We just don't even think about it. So, yeah, I'm glad that it helped and that you were able to kind of get some new habits out of it. That's good.
Yeah, well, you know what? It should have went for. Actually, here's another one. So, liquor. That's kind of a trap right there too, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
What liquors don't it does tequila not have added sugar? Am I right on that or am I off on that?
I'm not sure. I think it depends on the brand, and honestly, the biggest kicker with alcohol is what we're mixing it with. You know,
that's right. That's
like
right.
the vodka cranberries, or you know. Tequila with, I don't know, whatever sort of juice, or, you know, pineapple juice or something.
Rum and Coke.
That will definitely start adding up. Yeah, rum and Coke. So I know it's boring, but, you know, if you're reaching for, like, a hard liquor, trying to do, like, a vodka soda with lime or, you know, a tequila with lime, something like that, if you want your alcohol but kind of want to cut down on your sugar, that would be kind of my suggestion there.
Anna Christina Jerzyk, she is with Eat Freely Nutrition. Go to eatfreelynutrition.com or Instagram at Eat Freely Nutrition. It's a team of registered dietitians that offer individual nutrition counseling out in Long Beach. She's nice enough to join the show. We had her on a couple weeks ago, and we're just trying to educate ourselves as we can in this time where we're spending a lot of time at home. So we game planned a little bit earlier today, and I wanted to have a chat with you, and I thought just to kind of have a little bit of an idea of what we thought would be most beneficial to those who are listening. You had something that you wanted to discuss, 5 daily habits that you can do to get healthier. So I'm going to let you kind of just walk through each one of these. I might jump in with questions, but I'd love to hear your daily habits that you think would help from a health perspective.
Yeah, definitely. So I know when I hear it from not just my clients, but like my friends and family, like I think we all maybe went through a period of, well, in the beginning of quarantine, kind of reaching for whatever, grabbing that extra cookie, because why not? You know, so I think now it's kind of catching up to us now that we're so many weeks in. And so I just wanted to share kind of 5 daily things that you can do. They're not super big, but they'll make a big difference in the long run. So one of those on the subject of sugar would be swapping out all of your sugary beverages for unsweetened beverages. So that doesn't necessarily just mean water, but you definitely don't want drinks with added sugar. So I think a lot of times we just think of sodas, but we forget about things like fruit juices. Even if your juice is fresh and squeeze like from the orange in your backyard, it's still going to have a ton of sugar in it. So iced tea, sports drinks, all of those just have tons of sugar. To give you an idea, about half a cup, which is 4 ounces, usually that's like 2 gulps, half a cup of any of those drinks, any of those sugary beverages, is equal to about a slice of bread if we're talking carbs, right? So I know that shocks most people, right? Let's say we were to have a glass of orange juice, most of us are having at least, you know, 8 to 12 ounces. So if we're thinking about it in carbs, that's like 2 to 3 slices of bread, right, that we're adding on top of the food that we're eating. So as you can imagine, that adds up pretty quickly throughout the day, especially if we're drinking them, you know, all day, every day. That'd be my tip number one, like cut out all the sugary beverages and swap for something unsweetened. It could be water. It could be a flavored sparkling water, an unsweetened iced tea, an herbal tea, anything like that. Tip number two would be to have a high protein and high fat breakfast. So a lot of us tend to load up on carbs in the morning, and the issue with that is it's going to increase our cravings later on. It sets up our blood sugar for kind of this blood sugar roller coaster for the day, and it just leaves us feeling unsatisfied, usually in a couple of hours. So swapping kind of a carb-heavy breakfast for something with more protein and fat. So instead of having cereal and milk, right, which is pretty much just carbs, maybe doing like a smoothie with some protein powder and some peanut butter. Or like instead of having a full bagel with cream cheese, doing like a toast with eggs and avocado, you know, something like that. So we definitely still want to eat breakfast, but just by changing up what we're having at that breakfast, it can definitely help with the rest of the day.
I'm gonna hop in and give a quick plug real quick. Anna Christina Jerzyk, she is with Eat Freely Nutrition. She's educating us a little bit here on this quarantine that we're in, just trying to be a little bit more nutritious. Tip number one of the 5 daily habits was try to have drinks with no added sugar. Tip number two, high protein and high fat for breakfast. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, tip number three. What's the third tip?
So, tip number three would be like portion out your snacky foods. So, I'm not saying we can't eat any like junky or snacky foods. I know sometimes it's just more appealing these days, but we tend to kind of put our hand in the big bag, and then all of a sudden, like that big bag's gone, and we don't even know where it went. Right.
So I've been there before. Anna. I've been there very recently. Very recently, actually.
Yeah, I think it's really common. I think all of us have been there before. So I'm not saying you have to give up the chips or give up the cookies, but just try and portion some out. Like serve yourself a little bit and then just eat from there instead of eating out of the big bag again. A small tip, but it can make a big change. And then tip number four would be trying to include vegetables at lunch and dinner. Vegetables seem to have kind of gone out the window these days. And I know that they're not as appealing all the time, but we can definitely make them tasty. It doesn't have to be a salad. They can be cooked. They can be barbecued. I know grilling is starting to happen more. So including vegetables at lunch and dinner will help not only fill your plate, but it will help give you actual nutrition, right? To have your body like keep running, have your metabolism keep running, keep your immunity up. So trying to include vegetables at lunch and dinner. And then tip number five would be to sweat every day. So let's say you used to go to the gym, you know, for an hour, hour and a half. Right now that's not happening, and it's definitely hard to make yourself do a high-intensity workout for an hour at home. So even if it's not 60 minutes, aiming for, like, a 30-minute goal and some sort of movement, right? Even if you're not, like, doing a 30-minute like HIIT workout that day, at least getting outside and trying to get like 10,000 steps throughout the day. I think a lot of us are just very sedentary right now. So just trying to get yourself to sweat and to move every single day will definitely help boost your health too.
Those are all, you know, it seems like, okay, well, yeah, that's simple. Yeah, that makes sense. But I think there's a lot of us that just don't apply that, right? And I think there is a part of this that it's like, oh, well, what's one day? But like then one day becomes two, and then next thing you know, 2 days becomes a week,
where you've kind of changed your habits. And I know I'm the same way. Okay, this is the final question that I have. And by the way, these are all fantastic. How about for those that are trying to actively lose weight? Is there some additional tips that you would you provide there? Because I'll use myself as an example. I definitely don't think that when the quarantine started, I'm at the same weight that I was. I don't feel that way, at least. But what would be some tips for those that are trying to actively lose some weight?
So, I mean, following those daily habits that I just gave, but in addition, I think paying attention to when you're eating. So I know right now it's hard to have like a set breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day, but trying more to think about like, okay, what time am I eating till? Like, are those night snacks sneaking in until like 10, 11 p.m.? And then thinking about what time you're having breakfast. Like, if you're having food at 8 a.m. and you were eating snacks until midnight, right, you've only given your body this like 8-hour break from food. So I like to encourage like at least a 12-hour window of no food. So, for example, that could be, you know, stop eating at 8 p.m. and then have your first meal at 8 a.m. the next day, right? Again, so simple, but I think a lot of us have shortened that window that we're not eating. So trying to extend that a little bit can be really helpful to your metabolism. It can be helpful for your digestion. And then over time, if you want to expand that window even more, then that gets a little bit more into intermittent fasting, which can also be helpful for weight loss.
Anna, fantastic, fantastic stuff. Honestly, it's very educational. I mean, you know, we're going to blab about sports for 2.5 hours every night. So it's like, we know we're going to do that, but to actually get some information that could be helpful to our, to our actual bodies, it's great. So I greatly appreciate you doing this. I'm sure we'll probably check in with you in a few weeks or so and see if there's some other tips out there that we can use.
Awesome. Happy to help.
All right. Hopefully those were some good tips there. I know stuff that, man, whenever I weighed before this quarantine started, I don't think it's the same. And maybe I'm not the only one out there, but hopefully some of her tips are helpful. When we come back, just real quick, I want to hit on Lakers in touch with the mayor's office on opening a practice facility. We'll talk about that coming up next day right here. Sliwa Show at 710 ESPN. Stacks of credit card debt. Manuel from Gardena. Stacks of credit card debt. Thank you, by the way, to Dylan Hernandez. Always great stuff from him, from the LA Times. Thank you to Anna Christina Jerzik. I was waiting, Curtis. I thought you had another thank you coming, man. All right, thank you. Thank you to everybody that was a part of the show. this is how I wanted to end the show. So, by the way, quick reminder, tomorrow, don't forget, 6 a.m., Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. They'll continue to deliver in the morning. Sedano after that. And then, of course, Will Cain Show, Mason in Ireland, and then the Sliwa Show after that. Okay, so yesterday there was an article that came out with Dave McMenamin, put it out on ESPN. Lakers in touch with mayor's office on opening practice facility. Current shelter at home in California is set for May 15th. We'll see if that changes at all. NBA announced Monday will allow players to return to team facilities for voluntary workouts May 8th. A lot still has to be figured out, but it has to be done together. So the one thing, and we'll see what happens, McMenamin's article, and Dave always does a great job for ESPN and specifically a lot of stuff around the Lakers. The one thing that I'm curious about, and I just want to make sure, is that there are not other facilities, other teams, and other players that have a competitive advantage over the Lakers. If the state of Texas or Houston or Dallas, because I know each one of these cities, they kind of have different guidelines. If they have the ability to go to the training facility and the Lakers and the Laker players don't have that same ability, and I know it's all only four players can be in there at the same time. They have to be spread apart by over 12 feet. No coaches are allowed, but it's still a competitive advantage if the Lakers aren't in the same boat. And I'm not just talking the Lakers, the Clippers, the Phoenix Suns, like any team that has a shot at making the postseason, everybody's got to be on that same page. And I got confidence, to be honest with you, that Adam Silver will come out with something, will roll something out where it's fair for everybody. But if there's certain teams
that get it and other teams that don't get it, as in certain teams have a facility that's open and other teams that don't, that obviously wouldn't be fair. It would be unfair to the Los Angeles Lakers. As always, LA, greatly appreciate you tuning in. Starting tomorrow at 6 a.m. And then I'll come on Crosstalk with Mason and Island, as always. We'll go 6:30 to 9 the rest of this week. So appreciate you tuning in. Follow me on Twitter at Alan Sliwa. Thank you, LA.